from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. As the fallout from election 2010 continues to settle for Democrats, one of the more intriguing questions focuses on the future of a singular San Franciscan, Nancy Pelosi. Will she or won't she continue as Democratic leader now that she's lost the speakership? We'll talk about that coming up in our first half hour of Forum. And then at 9:30, we'll turn our attention to the once and future governor, Jerry Brown. His election to a post he first held 36 years ago represents not only a remarkable political journey, but the beginning of an intriguing new chapter in California governance. We'll hear about the return of Jerry Brown. That's all ahead on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson. Nancy Pelosi came to Congress 23 years ago. And of course went on to become the first woman Speaker of the House of Representatives. When the Democrats lost their majority election night, Speaker Pelosi lost her gavel. And initially, most political observers assumed that she would now step down as Democratic leader as well. After all, House Democrats had just suffered the worst loss any party had experienced in 60 years. But as Pelosi made clear in an interview on ABC this week, she hasn't yet made up her mind. And if she wants to continue as Democratic leader, she probably can, given the support she still has among House Democrats. So what will she do? What would be best for Democrats going forward? We're going to take up those questions during this first half hour of Forum today. Joining us to do that, Mark Sandolo. He teaches politics and journalism at the University of California's Washington Center. He's also the former Washington Bureau Chief for the San Francisco Chronicle and author of Madam Speaker, Nancy Pelosi's Life, Times, and Rise to Power. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
And joining us as well is John Bresnahan. He's the Capitol Bureau Chief for Politico, which is a Washington-based website that covers politics in the nation's capital. John, good morning.
Good morning.
Mark, as we've learned over the last couple of days, Nancy Pelosi is continuing to consider this, and she seems to be approaching this in a very methodical way, calling members of her caucus, sounding out what people want. Does that strike you as being very Nancy Pelosi-like to approach it in that kind of manner?
Well, most people would have assumed, Dave, that she probably going into this last Tuesday, the Democrats were likely to lose her majority, that she might have already had her mind made up. And knowing Nancy Pelosi, it is very believable that she truly never spent much time even pondering the notion of Democrats losing before the vote itself. And it's not that she has her head buried in the sand. I heard her say in an interview a couple weeks ago, you don't interrupt a manager in the middle of a game to say, you know, what happens if you lose? And, you think of the Giants Saturday night when they were losing to the Rangers. If we'd had a chance to ask, Bruce Bochy, you guys lose tonight, What do you do? And what do you do for Game 6? Who's your starter? It would have been a ridiculous question. The answer is, I'm not thinking about that right now. I'm trying to figure out how we score runs. Hmm. And in the same sense, I really think Nancy Pelosi was trying to hold her losses to a minimum and hasn't spent a lot of time on this. And it's a very tough choice because she certainly doesn't want to drag this thing out. She's accomplished, she's going to go down as a famous person, an accomplished speaker in history, a moving figure in American politics. At the same time, Republicans, depending on some of these close contests, are going to end up with something like a 30, 35-seat majority. With Barack Obama on the top of the ticket in 2012, it's not unthinkable that the Democrats get their majority back. And she may decide that 2 years in the minority and then get the speaker's gavel back, like Sam Rayburn did many, many years ago when he rode through a couple of times Republican minorities. It might not be a crazy decision, so I'm sure she's conflicted.
Mark Sandolo, author of Madam Speaker, Nancy Pelosi's Life, Times, and Rise to Power. John Bresnahan at Politico, we heard Mark outline some of the possibilities. What's on the downside of this? We saw Republicans make her really the symbol of this election in many ways. Outline for us, if you would, from a Democratic point of view, what those Democrats would feel who feel like if we want to get back, that's not the direction we ought to go.
Well,
I would echo what a lot of what Mark said. Pelosi is enormously respected inside the Democratic caucus. They wouldn't have gotten the majority in 2006 without her. So she carries that goodwill. She worked her tail off this year. She raised, you know, $65 million for House Democrats. She did hundreds of events. So there is a lot of goodwill. But, I mean, we're going up with a story in a little while saying there are now six Democrats who won on Tuesday who will come out and say, you know, we need new leadership in the next Congress. They'll again, to make the sports analogy, you know, manager just, you know, lost, you know, had a losing season. Doesn't need to, you know, can't stay. You know, you can't fire the players, but you can get rid of the manager. I think there are a number of Democrats who say Pelosi is politically toxic now. It's not necessarily our fault. It was the economy. It was this, you know, millions of dollars in these anonymously funded Republican ads. But she's toxic. She became an issue in races. It's not going to change in 2012. She is, and Obama and Pelosi together would be very difficult for some of these members in swing districts to defend themselves. And also, the idea that Pelosi can't go into these districts and recruit members who can win this swing districts that Democrats are going to need to get back the House. The folks that they lost on Tuesday, you know, Pelosi is already a liability to them.
And, John, who are the Democrats who are being forthcoming about saying they'll oppose? The Blue Dogs? Who else? Who's stepping forward and saying, we don't want Nancy Pelosi back?
We have some Blue Dogs. This morning we're adding to the list, we're adding two more. Larry Kissel, he's out of North Carolina, and then there's Albie Osiris out of New Jersey. Now, we had four come out yesterday. Some of these are Blue Dogs. Jim Matheson of Utah, he's Schuler of North Carolina, John Yarmuth of Kentucky, and then there's Mike Ross of Arkansas. Now, the interesting thing about Yarmuth was on Tuesday, and I was looking at the speech this morning, he was lavish in his praise for Pelosi. He said this in his victory speech, you know, she should be doing a victory lap with me. Now, 2 days later, he comes out and says, you know, we need somebody else heading into the 112th Congress. I think there is a growing sense among some Democrats that she should go. I would not say it's a majority view yet. I would say there's a large block of members who, you know, love and respect Pelosi. They, you know, if she wants to stay, they would back her, but I don't think it's an overwhelming endorsement. I think there's just, it's a big squishy middle in the caucus right now.
John Bresnahan, Capitol Bureau Chief for Politico. Mark Sandelow, in some ways, does this debate get right at the heart of who Democrats are and who they want to be approaching 2012? You can make the argument on the one hand, as you and John both have, that she's responsible for a lot of the Democratic gains that happened in 2006 and 8. But if the center is really where the action is, and if independents have become much less happy with Democrats, then there's this thought that Democrats really need to pull back to the center. It's this old debate, isn't it, about who the Democrats really are?
I think that the way that people look at Pelosi's future is definitely reflects what they think this election was about. If you think that the reason that Republicans did so well on Tuesday was because they believe, America believes, that Obama overreached his mandate, that Democrats in Congress went well beyond what they were supposed to do, that health care was a terrible idea, and that the American people rejected that, sent the first message they could, you know, then I think that rejection of Nancy Pelosi as well as the leader makes great sense. But if you believe, as I think the overwhelming majority of Democrats do, and indeed a lot of others, that this election was more about the fact that unemployment nationally has been hovering around, you know, just under 10% and a lot higher than that in California, and that the country's been embroiled in this recession or, you know, close to it for 2 or 3 years now, and that they see this dysfunction in Washington making Washington an ugly place and an epithet during campaigns, then Pelosi has virtually nothing to do with it, and it wouldn't have mattered who she was. It doesn't matter if she's a San Francisco Democrat or a Maryland moderate, which is what her number two guy, Steny Hoyer, projects himself as. It wouldn't have made any difference. And therefore, getting rid of Pelosi, you know, might be regarded as, it's more like what John said, the baseball team might stink, and it might have nothing to do with the manager. It doesn't necessarily mean you don't get rid of the manager, but it's not always the logical thing to do. The one thing I wanted to add to John's math, because I think, you know, those people we mentioned were interesting, and it is a growing number of people willing to get rid of Pelosi. But still, the choice is hers. And the reason the choice is hers, when she runs for Speaker, she has to win a majority of the entire House of Representatives. All the Republicans every time vote against her. And if the Democrats only had a 5 or 10 seat majority, if there were 6 to 15 Democrats willing to dump her, she's in huge problem. But now we're going to be left with, I think the latest count is about 186 Democrats. That means she only needs to win 144 to stay in office. Don't forget that Republican wave on Tuesday disproportionately swept over, you know, swing, more conservative, moderate districts. Those were the conservative blue dog Democrats. I read that about half of the blue dogs may have lost at this point. And the result is, John said, there are a lot of people who like her. Certainly there are 145 people who would do whatever Pelosi. They jumped off a cliff still for Pelosi. So if Nancy Pelosi were to declare, I am in this, we're going to wait this out, and I will be Speaker once again, I can't imagine she'd have any difficulty. The question is whether or not, and boy, there's a real irony here, that whether or not Nancy Pelosi would represent more of the same for the Democratic Party at a time that everybody wants to embrace the mantle of change. They're sort of interesting that, you know, this petite woman in an Armani suit is suddenly the symbol of the status quo in Washington when, you know, for years, she was what embodied change
right.
in the good old boy structure.
Right. Mark Sandelow teaches politics and journalism at the University of California's Washington Center, also author of the book, Madam Speaker, Nancy Pelosi's Life, Times, and Rise to Power. If you want to join us and pose a question or a thought about the future of Nancy Pelosi, now's the time to do this. We're just pursuing this topic for our first half hour this morning. Do you want Nancy Pelosi to stay on as Speaker? What would you like to see the House Democrats consider? Join in at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. John Bresnahan, is there an obvious heir apparent? Mark mentioned Steny Hoyer, the current majority leader. Would he want to, does he want to push, has he said? Is there someone obvious out there who could take place? After all, Rahm Emanuel, if he were still there, might be a candidate, but of course he's not. So is there a logical, viable alternative?
Well, Hoyer is the alternative. He is, you know, he's been in Congress for a long time, decades. He was a rival against Pelosi when they ran for leadership back in 2001. It was a very bitter, hard-fought campaign, but she, you know, she defeated him soundly. He followed her into the leadership. He was always underneath her. Since she's become Speaker in 2006, he served as Majority Leader. They've formed a pretty good working relationship. I never think they're going to love each other, but they've actually formed a pretty good relationship in terms of what they wanted to, you know, their strengths, whether they complement each other. I would think if Pelosi were to step aside, and when I emphasize this, Hoyer will not run against her.
Yeah.
Mark made the point. He can't beat her. He wouldn't run. He wouldn't do it.
Yeah. So in the end, it really is. Yeah.
It's her decision. It's all up to her.
Let's hear what, before you go on, John, let's just get a couple of caller reactions. Curious
sure.
to hear what people here in the San Francisco Bay Area think about Nancy Pelosi's future. Scott, you're up first. Just a quick thought on what you'd like to see. Scott, go ahead.
I guess basically I would see Pelosi as an amazing person that best represented my values and norms and so forth. But one of the key successes has been portraying Nancy Pelosi as a representative of, quote, San Franciscan values. And although I find that insulting, sometimes that resonates with the rest of the country. I was wondering what the panel thought about if you kept her on as a majority leader while people still perceive the Democratic Party as, quote, representing those values.
Scott, good question. Thanks. Mark Sandelow, a quick response.
She has, you know, the San Francisco is among the most liberal districts in the country, and Pelosi is one of the most liberal members of the House. Her 23-year-long voting record establishes that. She is a San Francisco liberal, but she's now been in the power structure, you know, in the minority leader or as Speaker for, what, 8, 9 years now. Clearly, she's established that she leads from the center. She is perfectly willing to embrace the blue dog values when that's what it needs, take a majority of the votes.
It's interesting. I mean, sorry to jump in on you, Mark, but it's an interesting point. I mean, she's viewed, as Scott suggested, as the San Franciscan representing San Francisco values and a bit of an ideologue. But part of your point is that in the end, she's really pragmatic. You quote the late Phil Burton as saying she was operational. I mean, that's really what she's about in many ways.
And very quick, classic San Francisco example, when the voting, for decades, gay leaders have been pushing for fair employment, that you can't fire somebody based on their sexual preference. And it got down to the House floor, Democrats take control, and the mood had changed so much that a majority agreed that gays, yes, lesbians, yes, transgender, they weren't willing to go there. Nancy Pelosi, a speaker, goes to the House floor, speaks up for transgender rights, which, as she points out, no speaker before her had ever done before. But it was clear she had the votes for gays and lesbians and bisexuals, but not for transgenders. Pelosi cuts the deal. Fine.
Yep.
They dumped the transgenders, but they got the bill passed. That's classic Nancy Pelosi.
To Max next. What's your thought, Max?
Yes?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi. Specifically, I wanted to know about Nancy Pelosi's ability to lead from the minority. And, you know, I know that she was the one who helped bring the Democrats back. So is she specifically an excellent comeback kid? Is maybe that her political specialty?
Max, thanks. John, you want to weigh in?
That's a good question, Max. I don't know the answer to that. In fact, we haven't seen something like this since the 40s and 50s when we had Sam Rayburn, speaker, going back to the minority and then back as speaker. I don't know the answer to that. I think that's exactly the issue that the Democrats are pondering now. I mean, there's a group who strong Pelosi backers who would say, we cannot get the minority or majority back without her, her organizational skills, her political skills, her fundraising ability, her ability to unite the caucus. There are another group out there saying, look, Pelosi is politically toxic now. It's not going to be any better in 2012, and you're going to have Obama running for reelect. And unless the economy improves, Obama's going to hurt the party. The image of Pelosi, fairly or unfairly, is going to hurt the party. This is an open question. I think this is a question she's trying to divine the answer herself. And I think of the losses have been smaller. I think if she had, even if they had lost the House, if they lost 40-something seats instead of the 60, I think there would be, I think it seems now pretty clear that she would stay, she would have stayed. I think... I agree with a lot of Mark's points. I think there's something inside of Nancy Pelosi she can't really. Yeah, it's hard for her to acknowledge that the Republicans succeeded in turning her into a political liability for Democrats because of her decades of just work for the party, starting the California Democratic Party, and since she came to Congress in '87. So I think there is. It's really getting to her. I mean, it's hard to say, but I think it really bothers her. And that they succeeded. They spent a lot of money. These secretly funded, outside groups spent a lot of money demonizing Pelosi. It worked. And I think it just sticks in her craw. Mm.
Steve wants to get at that same point, calling from Vacaville this morning. Steve, go ahead.
Yes. I think Nancy's been demonized so bad. I think wrongly. Newt Gingrich, was demonized, I think, more rightly. But Nancy Pelosi's been so demonized with Fox News and with Rush Limbaugh and all these guys. She just had a bullseye on her so strong that she's been weakened by that. And I don't think the media has really portrayed that well.
So Steve, yeah, Steve, would your view be then that just even though it may be unfair, she's been so demonized that she can't be effective and she's, as a pragmatic person, you'd say she's got to go?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Steve,
yeah,
thanks.
It's too bad. I mean, I love her to death, but, it's just that she's been demonized too much.
Yeah. Steve, thanks. Thanks for the observation and call. Let's hear what Catherine has to say next in Sacramento. Catherine, go ahead.
I completely disagree with the previous speaker, except for his support for Nancy. I have known her through the United Nations Association and had a talk with her about our mutual backgrounds in Baltimore. I think that you have to take the toxicity on head-on and refute it because it was unfair to her. She should be allowed to do what she thinks is best for the United States. I'm sure she will.
Yeah,
but
thanks.
I think that we need to refute everything that was thrown at her.
Thanks for the call and the observation.
And I think just to respond,
yeah, Mark, to that, go ahead, because that really is, in a nutshell, what the argument is about.
The toxicity, I still think it's important that people distinguish between the toxicity of having a woman, a San Francisco liberal. She's a devout Catholic, but she has always stood very strongly, for gay rights and social issues that are very, very progressive. They started out demonizing her on that years and years ago. I'm trying to remember some of these ads that they had, but there was, psychedelic music and basically you guys in San Francisco are nuts. And if you think that we're going to have your crazy leader be the leader for our entire country, forget it. That has changed. Nancy Pelosi really has turned the thing around. Now, there were a couple of ads, actually one had run by a Democrat this year, that showed sort of the 2010 version of the Grateful Dead concerts, maybe in the 1960s. But for the most part, her image would just be shown over the Capitol Dome. I mean, she's presented herself as this, well-dressed, conservative, devout Catholic grandmother, and not that anybody thinks of her as old-fashioned necessarily, but the toxicity comes from her association with government, and that's different. And,
yeah.
And I think the people in the Bay Area should feel that she's less demonized for being a lefty than she is demonized for being part of the status quo.
Yeah, interesting, really interesting point. Let's get in one more caller because we're a bit short on time and hear from Andrea in San Rafael. Your thought, Andrea, go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to say that I think a lot of the opposition to Speaker Pelosi is because we still have so much sexism in this country.
Mm.
It's not necessarily because of her politics. It's because she's a powerful woman. We saw it a lot in the primary campaign two years ago between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. People just aren't really comfortable with that. Look at why we only have, 10 female senators, and I'm not sure how many female members of the House of Representatives. There's just a lot of sexism still in the United States, unfortunately.
Andrea, thanks. Thanks for the call and observation. Just a couple of thoughts, last thoughts from each of you. You have a sense of where this is going to go? John, first?
I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you. I would have bet money before Tuesday that she would have left. She would have agreed to step down as leader and then later on retired from Congress if the Democrats lost the House. Excuse me. Now I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I my sense is that the longer this goes on, it's the greater the likelihood that she'll stay. But I do think there's going to be a very vocal minority within the House Democratic Caucus that is really going to be unhappy with that.
Mark Sandelow, lots of choices possible. She could stay. She could step aside. She could, some people think, become the next mayor of San Francisco. As you go to work, as I'm sure you might be thinking about on your revised edition of Madam Speaker, what do you think is going to happen next?
She's also a 70-year-old grandmother who would probably like to stop what has been a quarter century of all-nighters, pretty much.
Yeah.
And, that last comment was very interesting because Pelosi will tell you that, of course, there's still sexism out there, but when Democrat or Republican members of Congress, who used to think less of her because she was a female, walk through that door that says Speaker of the House,
yeah,
they're not thinking of her as a woman, they're thinking of her as a speaker. And if it all ends, that may be one of her greatest accomplishments.
Mark Sandelow teaches at the University of California's Washington Center, also the author of Madam Speaker, Nancy Pelosi's Life, Times, and Rise to Power, a story that's continuing as we speak. Thanks for joining us, Mark.
Thank you.
And John Bresnahan joined us as well, Capitol Bureau Chief from Politico. John, thanks for being part of our program.
Thanks for having me.
We'll come back in our second half hour and continue to talk about politics and another interesting Californian, Jerry Brown, the once and future governor. That's coming up after this short break. This is Forum. I'm Dave Iverson.